Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking. I'm pastor at First Baptist Church in Perth, Ontario. And we are happy at Good News in the Morning to introduce a new ministry of ours. Alan Churchill, the founding pastor of this ministry, is going to be writing a monthly devotional. Alan is well known for his spiritual insight and ability to communicate the truth of God. If you would like to receive this devotional, go to our website at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. That's goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And sign up to start receiving it right to your email inbox. We are expecting that God will do good things for His glory through this new and exciting ministry. Now, today's topic is Jonah. And Jonah is having a whale of a time, you'll soon see. But first, we're going to listen to Brian Dirksen singing Today. Folks, let this song be your prayer.
As for me,
Welcome back. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking. And today at Good News Christian Ministries, we're looking at the book of Jonah to learn all about obedience. And this morning, I'll be looking at three different things relating to sin. The first is that sin will always take you farther than you wanted to stray. The second is that sin will leave you there longer than you ever wanted to stay. And the third is that sin will cost you far more than you ever wanted to pay. Now, this book, the book of Jonah, is a historical account. It's important that I say that from the outset. This is not a fable. It is not a metaphor. Jonah was a real life prophet of God. And 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25 tells us that the God of Israel spoke through his servant Jonah, who was son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. And so we have historical records corroborating the fact that the book of Jonah tells us about a young prophet named Jonah. Now, another piece of background information is that Nineveh, the land to which God called Jonah, was the world's capital at the time. It covered over 350 square miles. And the walls were over 100 feet high, with 1,500 towers, 200 feet high. The population was well over 1 million. And the Assyrians ruled the world for several hundred years. In fact, the Assyrians conquered Israel, and this is why Jonah was afraid to go there. The last thing to mention is that the events recorded in the book of Jonah happened sometime during the reign of Jeroboam II of Israel, who ruled 793 to 753 BC. All right, that's enough background information. Let's jump in now with our first section, which is that sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to stray. In verse 1 of chapter 1, it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the word said, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Here's what's significant here in the first verse. The first is that God is asking Jonah to go to the non-Jews. That's like today, us Christ followers going and reaching out to non-church folk. And we see God's beautiful and extravagant grace on offer right out of the gates, because he's sending Jonah to the Gentiles. And it's a beautiful reflection of the character of God, who is always loving and always extending his grace. Recall that Jesus Christ said, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Love your enemies. And so God calls Jonah to go to his enemies, the people of Nineveh. And Jonah immediately said, no, don't send me to people who are not like me. We see that in verse 3 when Jonah sets out to flee to Tarshish and he tries to flee from the presence of the Lord. So here's the question for you and me this morning. Who does God want us to speak with? Where does God want us to go? And yet we are unwilling in our spirits. Who does God want us to share his good news with, but we're scared or rebellious to do so because that person isn't like us? That person intimidates us, or we're afraid of that person's response. And so we, like Jonah, set out to flee or run away from God in the opposite direction. Now, verse 3 continues that Jonah went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid his fare and he went on board and away he went. Now, he thought he was going away from the presence of the Lord, but we'll quickly see that you can never escape the presence of the Lord. We'll quickly see that you cannot run away from God. You know, what's interesting is that the other week I went dog sledding over in Quebec with my father. And when I was talking to the owners of the dog sledding company, I asked, I guess that front dog, your top dog, is the strongest of the pack physically, right? And the answer was very interesting. In fact, the front or leading dog is actually not the strongest physically. He is the dog that is most able to listen to the voice or the instructions given by the dog sledder. And I thought that was really appropriate for us to understand that obedience of God comes down to listening for his still small voice and then obeying that voice. And so I wonder, what is God asking you to do this morning? Whom is he asking you to extend grace to? Sometimes God asks us to do things we don't want to do, but we still need to press in and choose to obey. There's that wonderful phrase, trust and obey, for there's no other way. And occasionally people say to me, I have no idea what God is asking of me. When in reality, may I suggest that we do have a sneaking suspicion. Sometimes people say, well, maybe God's asking me to tithe to my church a little more. Or maybe God's calling me to become a member of my church. Or maybe God's asking me to give up this or this habit. And then a few sentences later, the very same person will say, oh, that's probably just nonsense. That can't be the voice of God. Friends, let me reassure you, that likely is the voice of God. That is a supernatural thing you're hearing when you're hearing that you should tithe more to the church or become a member of your church or give up a sinful habit. That is the voice of God. That is not the voice of the enemy. And so if you know what God is asking you to do this morning, may I encourage you to obey. We just looked at how sin will always take us further than we wanted to stray. Let's now look at our second topic, namely, sin will leave us there longer than we wanted to stay. We're picking up the story of Jonah chapter 1 in verse 4. It says next that the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break it up. Here we see in this verse that God is Lord of everything, sea and wind included. We see that God can do anything, and we see that God is everywhere. Jonah was trying to flee from God's presence, but listen to Psalm 139, verse 7. It says clearly, where can I go from God's Spirit, and where can I flee from his presence? Friends, I want to reassure you this morning, you cannot outrun God, but also you can't escape God. And so if you're feeling that you've sinned too badly and that you're out of his reach, that just isn't true. God is everywhere and always at work for his good purposes and his glory. And so you can't have messed up too badly. God is right there with you, waiting to intervene, waiting to rescue you. Let's see how this happens in the life of Jonah. Now in verse 5, it says in the middle of the storm that the mariners were afraid. And so they each cried out to their own God. And then they threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten up the boat. Now Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship. And he had lied down, really, and fallen fast asleep. Isn't this interesting that in the midst of this storm, the non-Jews, or in today's language we'd say the non-church folk, they were crying out to their gods. And Jonah, the Israelite, instead of praying, chose to nap, chose to really indulge his flesh and sleep. And isn't that a reminder to us in the church that when we should be praying, we can often be sleeping? Now, watch what happens next in verse 6. The captain of the ship came down to Jonah and said, "What are you doing, sound asleep? Get up and call upon your God, because perhaps your God will spare us." Isn't that fascinating that it took a reminder from the captain of the ship, a non-Jew, to come and remind Jonah to pray? You know, sometimes in our society, in our day and age, the non-church folk know the right thing to do better than the church folk. We cannot underestimate the power and the significance of prayer, my friends. As you know, the Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Okay, let's carry on with verse 7. The sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us." And so they cast lots, which was a common thing to do in that day and age, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And so they said to him in verse 8, "Tell us why this calamity or this storm has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from, and what is your country?" To which Jonah replied in verse 9, "I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Well, in verse 10, it says that the men became even more afraid, and they said to Jonah, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Isn't this interesting that the non-Jews on the ship knew that Jonah had brought about the storm indirectly through his disobedience? They knew instinctively that Jonah could not run away from his God, because you cannot escape him. And so, friends, as this section has shown us, sin will not only take us further than we wanted to stray, it will also keep us there longer than we wanted to stay. Jonah, who simply wanted to get away from God and go over to Tarshish, ended up in a violent storm. We're going to pause and listen to that beautiful hymn, "Thine Be the Glory." And when we return, we'll look at our third and final section, namely, "Sin will cost you far more than you wanted to pay."
Thank you.
Welcome back. We're looking at the life of Jonah. And we've looked at how sin will take us further than we wanted to stray, keep us there longer than we wanted to stay. And now we're going to close by looking at how it will cost us more than we ever wanted to pay. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 11, the sailors said to Jonah, "What shall we do to you that the sea would quiet and down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. Well, Jonah replied, he said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then the sea will quieten down." In this precise moment, Jonah actually was not being a martyr, friends. He really just did not want to go to Nineveh. And he felt the easiest way to solve both the storm and really the stress in his life would be to end his life. But friends, if that's you this morning, if you're at the end of your rope, don't consider ending your life. Because God's got great things in store for you. He has plans for you to prosper you and to harm you. And so if you feel that you're at the end of your rope, just like Jonah, you're actually blessed. Because when you're at the end of your rope, there's finally less of you, and now there can be more of God. Look how God shows up in this story. The men, after trying to row hard to bring the ship back to land, discovered that they couldn't. And so they cried out to the Lord, and they said, "Please, God, we pray, don't punish us on account of this man's life." And then they threw Jonah overboard. And Jonah sank deep into the sea. And I'm sure he thought that his fate was sealed. But God intervened. Because God wasn't done with Jonah yet. We see that God sent along a whale to swallow Jonah, to save his life, because God had plans for Jonah yet. Now, the storm died immediately, and I want you to see in Jonah chapter 1 that the sailors then began to worship the Lord and make sacrifices to him. And so do you see how interesting it is that in all things God brings glory to himself? I want you also to notice that the Lord provided a large whale, and I obviously need to address not the elephant in the room, but the whale in the room. People often say, "Oh, it's impossible for a whale to swallow a human." Friends, whales come in two main groups. There's plankton eaters, which have a small gullet, incapable of swallowing a human. Those are the spermaceti. But there's another category, the great-toothed whales, known as the odontoceti, and they eat giant squids and large seals, and they are therefore fully capable of swallowing a man. There's also been a few modern accounts of sailors who have survived the innards of a large fish. But, friends, let's not get hung up on the details surrounding this large fish. What is important this morning is not the drama going on inside the whale, but more importantly, the drama going on inside Jonah. For we know that what God is really interested in is doing a new thing through Jonah. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." And so while Jonah thought he was finished, God had just begun. And when God intervened and saved Jonah's life, it shows that God is the God of second chances. That's probably someone out there today, this morning, needing a second chance. And if that's you, take comfort. God is in the business of second chances. Friends, no matter how far away you think you've run from God, you can always return to him. And he's waiting with open arms for you to come back to him. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the real-life story of Jonah. Thank you that this is a prophet with whom we can relate. Thank you, Lord, that the book of Jonah teaches us so much. And so, first of all, I pray for the listener who's trying to discern how to obey you. And someone out there this morning, Lord, is feeling your nudging, is feeling your tapping on their shoulder, is feeling you speaking into their heart to say, obey me this way. I pray that the listener this morning would have the courage to do just that. I also pray for the listener who is challenged by the fact that Jonah had to go speak to his enemies, that Jonah had to go speak to people that weren't like him. And I pray, Lord, that you will direct all of us to go speak to those who need to hear your good news, despite our prejudices. I also pray, Lord, for the person who feels that their life has hit rock bottom, that their life is at the end of its journey. I pray for that listener that they would know that God is always willing and able to intervene, and that they can never run from God, for he will never leave us nor forsake us, and his presence is everlasting. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.